Call them whatever you want. Hippies or hipsters, beatniks or punks, New Orleans has always been an attractive place for American bohemianism. But despite its laid-back attitude, the people down here often think these subcultures threaten the way things are done. Amzie Adams encountered that kind of opposition when he moved here in the late 60s, but then quickly found a way to participate in New Orleans culture. He's the subject of the latest NOLA Life stories.
The aggressive determination of hippies to start a new society has made its mark. Part of the neighborhood is occupied by ordinary people, bewildered by what's going on. Part of it is occupied by a growing population of hippies.
When I first rolled into town, we were in California, and we said, hey, let's go to New Orleans for 4th of July. So we drive all the way here, we park on Decatur Street, and there's like 9 hippies in a van. But I'm the first one who wakes up. So I wake up, and apparently the underground newspaper had just moved out of their office there, and they threw out all these papers, like piles this big. So I took all the underground newspapers and put them in the van, got onto a side street, and I said, boys, guess what? We got a business. I said, we're going to go out, we're going to hit the streets, and we're all going to sell newspapers. I made $50 that day. We were rich.
The hippies are capable of extremely hard work, even though they tend to approach work as the rest of us do sport. Some of them are very successful.
So then finally the guy who ran the newspaper came up to us and they said, you're killing us over here. We can't sell any newspapers. You're the best newspaper salespeople in the whole city. I said, well, we're kind of motivated. We don't have any money. And he goes, why don't you come and work for the newspaper? So I ended up working for Inarcane Logos.
We're still continuing to supply information to people. We're trying to turn on the world, man. That's what we're doing. We're turning on people. We're being turned on. It's one and the same.
So then also the newspaper became an integral part of the economic system for hippies in the French Quarter. So we were able to sell the underground newspaper. And we buy it for like a quarter and sell it for 50 cents. So we'd make a quarter every time we sell an underground newspaper. So we could sell the tourists or whoever's around. First person I met from New Orleans was a stripper that would buy my newspapers every night. She was so funny. She'd strip on Bourbon Street. And every night she'd come out of the club and she'd buy another newspaper. The same newspaper, you know. But they made a lot of money, strippers, you know. And she'd help out this poor schlep of a hippie dude, you know.
The kids that are coming here are also the most adventuresome of the lot of this generation. They want to strike out on their own. They want to see about life. They're very hungry for life. And not a plasticized, fantasized version that comes through their school, which is not very fulfilling to much of the human spirit.
Police in New Orleans at that time thought we parked our spaceship behind the French Quarter. If you were a freak, they just jacked you up and took you to jail. We felt we needed some protection. The only protection we could get was, you know, I guess our amendment rights for freedom of the press. And there was a guy named Joe Marcel, our lawyer, who got a restraining order against the police department. We had a newspaper, this is freedom of the press, they couldn't come within 50 yards of us.
A lot of people say to me, what are you doing? You're not doing any work. You're not working at a job. We're growing. We're trying to change. And that's a lot harder than staying in the same rut and going along year after year doing the same thing.
This was a whole alternative history now of the United States. And it exists. It's not like you have to hunt it down and go find somebody who is really old to find out about it. But those newspapers, the underground newspapers, have the history of the 60s, the truth.
People don't realize that before you can spread love around anybody else, you've first got to find it in yourself. I feel now that I've found love in myself. I've found myself and what I should do. I feel I can help do things for the younger people.
All I really wanted to do was be in New Orleans. That's all I really wanted. I didn't care if I had a job as a janitor. And as a guy from New Jersey, you know, who was probably slated to work in a box factory and have 2 kids and a dog and a parakeet and stick in traffic all the time on the Jersey Turnpike, this looked pretty good.